Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story Is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Oh, absolutely. And here's your coffee.
Oh, thank you.
We'll need to finish this before it gets cold.
It's in a thermal mug. Good idea.
That's right. It should last a while.
That'll help.
That's right. The characters in this book never got an hour. I can tell you that.
No, they got, I think, maybe 4 minutes or
four
so.
4 minutes, yes. Not very
Something
many.
Something like that.
Yeah. What a book. Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Toshikazu Kawaguchi.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
And we apologize to Mr. Kawaguchi for our pronunciation of his name, whatever comes up.
Oh, so good. What a cool book. This is fairly short, but I loved it. Another great find from you. So thank you very much.
I'm so glad, and you're very welcome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't even remember where I heard of it.
Oh,
it
really?
Might have been one of those I saw popping up on Goodreads here and there.
Okay.
I don't know. But, because it had an intriguing concept, and which is basically that there's this one little cafe in Japan where you can go, and if the conditions are all just right, you can go back in time. They pour a special cup of coffee for you. You sit at this table. You cannot leave the table, and you have to drink the cup of coffee before it gets cold. And when you've drunk the cup of coffee, then you're whisked back to now.
Yep.
But for that time period, you are there in the past. And the other condition is that nothing you do back there will change the present.
Yeah.
And so when I read that, I went, well, what's even the point? What can you do if you're not trying to change the present? And the first story, the woman is who wants to go back in time, is like, well, then why am I even here? I want to change the present.
Yeah.
But what you find out is there's something different going on. It's not about manipulating things to your own liking or to your own point of view.
Yeah, it's super clever. Yeah. And I was intrigued to find, you know, as I read it, I thought, oh, this might make a good play because there's really one set, you know?
Yeah.
And it turns out that it was. So it says this is on Wikipedia. The story originally began as a play in 2010.
Right.
Before being adapted into a novel. And it was written in Japanese, so it's translated into English by Jeffrey Trosselot. Trosselot.
Man, we are not getting any luck in the ones tonight.
Apologies to Jeffrey. But it was really, I thought it was great. There's a really nice quality about this writing.
Yeah, it's really spare and basic in a lot of ways, which I didn't expect. But yet, you wind up with a full picture of what the cafe is like. You, as the stories go on, there are four short stories in here, each telling an incident of somebody going back. And as you find later, you could also go forward in time. And because the people running the cafe are the same, and some of the people are regulars who are doing this time travel for one of these stories, you get to know their lives and how the stories intertwine. So the stories gradually turn into a whole tale by the end.
Yeah.
Because you know everybody. And when people come in, you're like, oh, of course she's greeting her husband like this or whatever. So it becomes richer than you think after you've read the first story.
Yeah. It mirrors life in such a great way. You know, people that you see, you meet for the first time, and you're seeing this little window into their lives where maybe somebody's being mean to somebody else, and that colors your view of their whole life. You know, it's like your mind puts them in a slot. You know, it's like, oh, that's how they are or whatever. But you never know what someone's going through and what's behind all that and how they are everywhere else, you know, or every time else, you know, and how they got to where they are and all that stuff. Everybody's got so much going on.
And that's true, because you do see people doing things that you understand one way at the beginning of the story, and then you learn more about what happened with the person they want to go back and meet, or their own personal history, so to speak. And then they go back and you hear what's different. Because the thing, of course, that's different is they, since they can't leave the table, they've got to pick a time when the other person was also at, that they want to meet, was also at the cafe.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is that's the thing that they can change, is their interaction with that person. And it doesn't change any of the choices people make or any of the things that happen later, but it does change them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes the other person.
True. Right.
The perception of what's going on and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's like a clarity of perception or a deeper understanding of what's going on. And it's really great. I mean, you know, so the author has come up with four different ways, and they're different ways, four different ways that these stories are so affecting, even though, you know, that when they go back, they can't change anything. And under those constraints, you know, this is, you know, four stories. And I guess there's more. I don't know if you've read any of the other books, but I've learned that there's others.
Yes, I have the next one waiting from the library in my house. But I didn't want to read it until you and I had talked about it.
Oh, good.
Because I didn't want to make the mistake of maybe getting other stories mixed up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will start that soon. Very good.
But it's a charming thing. You know, the cafe is really great. It's called Finiculi Finicula.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they talk about how meticulously it's taken care of. It's historical, right? It's in this place in town where other things are going on, and but they're maintaining it, and it requires a lot of work to maintain. Mm-hmm. And you learn about everybody that works there, the whole cafe staff. And, it's great. And it's so short, you know, I mentioned it was short, but in this tiny space of time, I come away feeling like I know these people, and, especially the four focuses of the stories. It's really got four stories in it. It's very broken up into chapters, but it's really four stories.
Yeah.
But they are interconnected, because sometimes the characters will show up in some of the other ones, and everybody kind of knows each other, and.
And especially by the end.
Yeah, especially by the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So really, really good.
Yeah. Read it. Definitely read it.
Yep.
And
off to spoilers we go, because it's fun.
Yes.
Let's talk about this. Okay, so there's a ghost.
First important thing.
I love that. Ghost. Yes, the ghost that sits there and reads and drinks coffee nonstop, but has to get up and go to the bathroom.
Once a day.
And it's not predictable when either. They have to wait.
No. Yeah. So the ghost, there's one chair that you can sit in that will take you back in time. And the ghost is sitting in that chair already. And she's a ghost because she let her coffee get cold. So this is the big warning, because if you let your coffee get cold, then you become the ghost that sits in that chair. And so she sits and reads a book and sips coffee.
Yeah.
And when you look and there's nobody in the chair, then you can nip over there and sit down, and they'll bring you the coffee.
And that's quite a consequence, too. I mean, I tried to figure out, or I guess maybe it was a little bit unclear, but if you turn into that ghost, do you ever get to not be that? It's like, you know, when somebody else does it, are you free? Do you die? What happens?
Yeah, they didn't talk about that,
did
they?
Yeah, so it was like, it was just kind of odd. But yeah, when you're, so you go back in time, you've got this cup of coffee in front of you, and you need to drink it before it gets cold, and it doesn't take very long. And then if not, you're the ghost, which is, that's a rough consequence.
Yeah, because I got the idea the cups of coffee were small.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the other challenge is each of the people we read about the only reason you would go to all this trouble is for something that you cared about deeply.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's hard to remember to pay attention to if your coffee's cold or not.
Yeah. And another thing, another thing that makes it even more is you only can do it once. It doesn't matter, but you personally can only do it one time. So it's like, this is your one shot. What would you pick, you know?
Well, and so the thing I like also is throughout the four stories, you know, you find out the basics at the beginning, and as each story happens, or did I say this already, they add another thing or two depending on the circumstances under which a person wants to go back or the reason. And so they'll go, oh, well, yeah. And so somebody was doing time travel, and it may have been the last person, but anyway, Kay. But whoever was doing it, they said, well, it doesn't matter because she's only going to be allowed to do it once. That's right. Another rule. But they don't dwell on that.
Yeah, but knowing that, it'd be like, okay, this is my one thing. And there wasn't any characters that were like, oh, I've got these two things to do. Which one should I do? You know, which would have been a different kind of story, I suppose. But yeah, they each had this longing, this deep something that had occurred or was occurring, and this deep need to connect back to a moment.
And it always was about a relationship. It wasn't about, if I just do this thing, then I can win this bet.
Yeah, then my life would be better or something like that.
Right, exactly. Or then I'd have this house. Or it was never about that. It was about a relationship that was somehow incomplete or unfulfilled in
somehow
some way.
So you've got
Fumiko, her boyfriend went to New York for 3 years, and the way they parted was very unsatisfactory, and she wanted to go back and talk to him and see if because she didn't really talk to him fully. That's the other thing. None of these people have all decided what the other person thinks already.
Right.
So it's incomplete communication also because they're not willing to be vulnerable and really talk about what's bothering them. In one case, it would be impossible. The last one, who is Kay, who's going forward to meet the daughter that she won't be able to meet because she's got such a weak heart that having the child will kill her.
Right.
There's no doubt. And it's not that she has a question about having the baby. She's going to have the baby.
Yeah.
But she feels so guilty over leaving her with no mother that she wants to apologize to her, you know? And so, but the other ones are all going back. So Fumiko, it's because her boyfriend went to New York and they never really declared themselves. And she felt that he was rejecting her by going to New York and not asking her to marry him. Kotake, and again, I'm sorry about these names if people know how to say them properly. She is a nurse. Her husband's got Alzheimer's, but at one point it was revealed by him that he had a letter that he wanted to give her, and he never did, and she couldn't find it. And so she's like, she wants to go back to that day when he has it, and so she can get it and read it, because he's too far gone. And Harai, she's got a sister that she has been avoiding for a long time, and she feels like she ruined the sister's life, and so she doesn't want her sister to yell at her about it. And so finally, though, that sister actually dies in a car accident with a truck or something.
Yeah.
So she wants to go back in time to the last time the sister came to the cafe to try to see her.
Yeah.
So that she can kind of have some resolution and talk to her a little bit. So all these things, all these things are about people who they made up their minds, and they also somehow failed to try to get the communication going at some point.
And it's so beautifully executed. You know, so every story kind of follows the pattern where you learn what the problem is, and then you're wondering, well, what could possibly be done in the past that would affect this? And and then they do it, and there's usually this clever thing. Clearing up of a misunderstanding is probably the most common thing. But just wanting to go back. I mean, how heartbreaking, you know, wanting to go back to just talk to someone one more time who had passed away, you know, because
right.
the person that passed away, you felt like you didn't treat very well. You know, you were trying to avoid her and, oh, it was heartbreaking, but still, it was still uplifting, you know, you know, we have these desires, you know? So, yeah. So you can't meet anybody who hasn't visited the cafe. The present doesn't right. change, and there's only one seat, and you have to stay in the seat. You don't get to move from it. And then there's the time limit where with the coffee. So it's like, okay, with all these limits, what could possibly be done? And in that first story, let's see, which was the first one was the
Fumiko, going back to visit her boyfriend, right?
So her boyfriend and her had a conversation in the cafe where he was basically, you know, hey, I'm going to leave. And it just didn't end satisfying way. And so she goes back and it really is just a clearing up of what they were going to say to each other, but just somehow just didn't do it. And he said, I'll be back pretty much. Right.
Yeah.
He's like, if you could hang tight, I'll be right back. Or I'll be back.
Yeah, he was being nervous. I think he said 3 years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he was being really nervous about it. And so he wasn't getting his words out. And she was like, you're not proposing to me. And so she was very upset and would cut him off and wouldn't let him talk. And I'm making her sound meaner than she was. But she also didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And of course, what you find out is he's like, oh, this has been my lifelong dream to go work with my uncle's company or whatever in America. And I'm going to go for 3 years and get a chance to really do it. But he was like, and I can't get out of it. But when I come back, what he wanted was to marry her, but he never got to say it. And he had this scar on his forehead that I guess he wore his hair over it. So when he brushed it aside, he goes, most people would see that and they would quit dating me.
Yeah.
And so he thought
he was inadequate. Yep.
Right.
So she's like, that didn't bother me a bit.
Yeah. She's like, well, I don't care.
Yeah. All these things just go unsaid.
And so it didn't matter that he was going to be gone 3 years. It did, and she knew the present wouldn't change. However long was going to be going still for him to do that, he'd be gone. But what she understood was because they were able to talk in the past, now he knew when he came back, she was waiting for him.
Hmm. Yep.
Because you're changing. What you're changing is the future in that way. And also, you're changing the way you think about it and the way you have treated somebody just in your conversation in the past, but also going forward.
Wow. I just say wow because that's such a... It's a tough thing for us to understand that the way that we choose to react is actually a large part of a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, we're confronted with this turmoil, but it's our reaction to the turmoil that can make it worse.
Yeah, because we think we understand what's going on, but we don't. Mm-hmm. We're reacting to what we think. And so is like, you know, the boyfriend's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But what it takes is that's the willingness to kind of force the conversation because you've only got till the coffee gets cold. And that time will be done. It's not like a regular one or where you think, well, I'll see you later. Or I can write you a letter or call you or something. So I guess they also like to nobody ever said, so I'll call you.
Yeah.
That was not on the table.
Right.
Whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's.
Well, that's great. It's so great. Good. Yeah. And then the second customer is Kotaki.
I think.
Who's married to the Alzheimer's husband.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name.
Fusagi.
Okay. And she just wanted to go back, you know, because he doesn't even know her. You know, she sits next to him and he's like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Helps, you know, he looks for his wallet one time, but she's got it and he doesn't know who she is. He said, oh, look what I found. I found your wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's being pretty kind. But she just wants to go back because, yeah, he's got this envelope and she has no idea what it says. But she wants to go back and have him give that to her, right? And yes. How beautiful is that? So she does that and he does give it to her. And what it says was just stunning. Yeah.
Yeah, what it said was, I marked it
because
I
like good.
This a lot. Because the thing is that she thought it would be kinder because he doesn't know her as a wife. So she thought she could always be a good nurse to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically, he's writing the letter and he says, well, you know, okay, so I assume you've already noticed what I figured out is I have an illness, which means I keep forgetting things. And he says, and so I imagine as this keeps getting worse, you're going to just treat me like you're my nurse. And he goes, so I ask you never to forget one thing. You are my wife. And if life becomes too hard for you as my wife, I want you to leave me. You don't have to stay by me as a nurse. If I am no good as a husband, then I want you to leave me. All I can ask is that you do what you can as my wife. We are husband and wife after all. Even if I lose my memory, I want to be together as husband and wife. I cannot stand the idea of us staying together only out of sympathy. This is something I cannot say to your face. So I wrote it in a letter.
Wow.
Imagine thinking of all that.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah. And that's an incredible thing. You know, I just want you to be with me as my wife. And then when she goes back to the present, there's this scene where she sits across from him and just says, hello, I'm your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really good scene.
You see, because I have that
he's
one.
He's actually offended. Awesome. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a different, is it a different story?
It could be in a different point? Story that happened, but yes, it was the result of what happened. Yeah.
Because she's not calling him Fusagi anymore. She's calling him Darling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling herself Mrs. Fusagi. She had gone back to her maiden name. So Kotaki was her maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't want to upset him with the whole wife-nurse thing. So then, though, what she's doing is saying she's found ways, it shows in the future stories, that she can just talk to him. And if he does remember she's his wife, they sit and they talk about places they traveled together, that kind of thing. And if he doesn't, she sits and kind of joshes around with him and jokes a little bit.
Yeah.
So then sometimes she'll just leave. She'll go, oh, well, that's okay. I'll just go sit over here. But because she's not pussyfooting around and she knows what he really wanted, she's like, fine. When you do remember me as your wife, we're going to be husband and wife. And that's really beautiful.
It really is. Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's honoring the true person he is and that she is too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yep. And third is Hirai, like you said,
mm-hmm.
who wants to have a talk with her sister who has now passed away. And, boy, that was touching too. The, you know, just the motives of each, you know, it's, you know, I'm treating her badly because of this, but it turns out that she really just wanted that. And I mean, how long did that go on? It was heartbreaking.
It was so hard because you realize her sister's heart had been broken the whole time because she had run away. So the family has an inn, and as the oldest daughter, her eyes should have been running the inn, but that just wasn't for her. She had a very big personality. And she didn't want to stay and run the family inn, so she left and went to Tokyo and opened up, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was like a place where people would hang out. It wasn't exactly a bar, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, without worrying about that. But so she always dressed very flamboyantly. She was kind of loud, all the things. But whenever her sister would come to see her, she would hide because she felt that she had forced her sister into a life she didn't want. Because it was the life that Hirai didn't want, but she left the sister to do it instead. Mm. And then when she went back in time and said, you know, I'm really sorry I did this, and the sister, or maybe did the sister give her a note that she'd read? crud. Now I can't remember those details. Well, the sister,
she just talked about, she said, well, yeah, it was like in a note, but she said, what I wanted to do was to do this with you. And that was heartbreaking. You know, this is what I wanted, was to be with you doing that.
Because they'd always done everything together as kids.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And then she went, oh, then let's do it.
Yeah.
I want that too. Mm-hmm. I thought you wanted this. And she goes, no. And her sister was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, of course, she knew she's going to die in that accident. But when she went back to regular time, she said, okay, well, I've got to go to the funeral. Or maybe it was after the mm-hmm. funeral, I think, and that she did the time travel. But then she went and said, okay, well, I'm going to run the hotel and my parents will just have to deal with it because they'd been mad at her the whole time because she'd left.
Well.
But because of her attitude and doing it for her sister and knowing it was what her sister wanted, it helped her mend the breach between her and her parents mm-hmm. and be happy with running the inn.
Yeah.
It was a sacrifice she made, but it was a sacrifice she could make willingly.
Yeah.
Very much like, I was struck because it was also like Harai. Really, except for the very first story, everybody's making a sacrifice. Willingly.
Yeah. Stepping towards each other.
Yeah.
Yep.
And doing it staying out back of love.
And doing it out of love. Absolutely.
Willing the good of the other.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. Very good. And then the last one, that was really something too.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth customer is Kai, K-E-I. So she actually owns part of the cafe, but she's pregnant and the chances of her surviving the birth are very, very low. It's almost certain that she will not make it, but she's going to have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And says, hey, I wonder if this chair works the other way. Can I go forward in time to meet this child? And, it chokes me up thinking about it. So mm-hmm. So she does so. So she sits in the chair and goes forward. And that encounter with that kid was really something because the kid's 12, I think. And
I thought she was 17, but maybe she was 12.
Yeah.
Well, whatever she was. Because the date got switched.
Right. That was an interesting thing.
Because she had set it up carefully. She told everybody, okay, this date, this time, I'm going to be there.
Right.
And they went, okay, we are going to have her there.
Yep.
And then everything was cattywampus.
Right. So the kid shows up, and the kid is not the age that she expected. So when the kid showed up, she was like, I'm not sure who that is, but it's not who I'm thinking of. And then it's revealed that it is. But the kid, it takes the child a minute to, I guess, summon the courage to talk because, this is a weird situation. And so she does. And I loved that awkwardness. It just felt so real. And then, when she finally did start to talk, then, the floodgate opened and she was able to say the things, basically, thank you. I'm doing fine, at the end, it looks like that. Mm-hmm. So it was great.
Well, and the other thing that's interesting is this story brings everybody together who we've known before. I mean, not Harai because she's not in Tokyo anymore, but like Fumiko, who was, meeting her boyfriend in the first story. She's there in the cafe. She's been helping raise the daughter.
Yeah.
And so, she's the one, she comes in because Mickey is the name of the daughter. And the way that Kay says, hello, she's like, oh, I don't think she really wants to talk to me. So she leaves. That's the thing where she's uncertain. But then Fumiko comes in and says, okay, don't tell her that you're sorry. Don't tell her this. This is not what a 15-year-old needs to hear.
Right.
You're going to make her think that you're sorry she was ever born or anything like this. And so then she said the daughter says, yeah, there have been times when I've been sad. And Kay was like, oh, no, this is heart-wrenching. You know, I can't change the sad times. But Mickey smiled bashfully as she took a little step closer. I'm really glad for the life you gave me. It takes courage to say what has to be said, and no doubt took Mickey all of her courage to express her feelings to the mother she had just met. Her voice wavered with uncertainty, but it conveyed her true feelings. So then Kay starts crying, Mickey starts crying, and then she starts calling her mom. And Kay's like, Mom, I am your mom, you know? And then she has this moment when she realizes all these people in this cafe have become Mickey's family. Even though she won't be there for her, she's surrounded by people who love her and take care of her. And so she gets that sense of calm about it.
Yep, everything's okay.
And also, Mickey's the one who, in the previous story, somebody just shows up for a minute in the chair and says to Kay, hey, I want to take my picture with you. She's like, but I don't even know you. Just come over here before the coffee's cold. Come on. And so she gives whoever the other person is her smartphone to take the picture with. Uh-huh. And everybody's like, what is this? This is not a camera, you know. And so that's just left as a mystery because they take the picture. She takes the phone back, and then the coffee's cold, or she drinks it up, and then she disappears.
Oh, that's great.
She doesn't even say, I'll see you later or anything else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that's clearly after she's met Kay.
Yes, right.
And she goes back and shows up in the previous story earlier and takes her picture with her.
Oh, I love it. What a,
I know.
Yeah, so good. Yeah. This would be terrific on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they're still doing it. But this would be a terrific, terrific show.
Yep. Yeah, or a good movie, or, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's very quiet, though. One of those, I think you're right, a play would be best.
Yep. Lots of dialogue and one set, and mm-hmm. you can imagine the lighting, you know, that changes when you're going through time and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't have thought of that. It'd really work well.
Yeah. Because they talk about this theme that's coming up, and it makes you feel kind of dizzy.
Yeah.
And which is interesting too, when in later stories people start going, wow, this, I'm so dizzy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So well done. That's just terrific. Yep. So I am eager to look at the others. I'm eager to see what you think of them, but, imagine they're kind of like, I don't know, Tales from the White Hart or, Callahan's Saloon, you know, these stories that take place in this cafe, you know, they're all, it's got that feel to it, you know, the bar stories, you know,
I call them tall tales told in taverns, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, this is, and you're right. This is of the same kind of related family, but because it doesn't have that, other than the time travel part, the ghost, it doesn't have a fantastical element that, you know, where it's going to be funny, and maybe they will in future ones.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all things that mean something deep to somebody.
Right.
So it's a funny book. I would never describe it as a time travel book because it's really a relationship book, but the time travel is necessary.
Yeah.
Because it's the reflecting on what's important and what was left undone or unsaid or that you need to find out to, you know, have the relationship be right.
Yeah. How do you repair those things?
Well, that's it. And it does take that courage, as they were saying, you know, when Mickey is talking, it says it takes courage to say what needs to be said. And I was mentioning before, these people have to let themselves be vulnerable. But it's not all relationshipy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe it's because of the other people in the bar, or I mean in the cafe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I'm wondering, you know, what the author would do in the future. I mean, I imagine you're going to get to the point where the people in the cafe are the stable bit, and you'll have people that are coming from outside saying, hey, I've heard that you can do that you can do this. And here's my story, and then they're going to, you know, help that person make it happen.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I'll let you know there are three other books.
Wow. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and I was like, this book is really popular. And some people, when you look on Goodreads, it just didn't grab them. They felt it was boring and everything. Mm. But most people really were touched by it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, of course, that's one of the, you know, as a Catholic, it's because this conveys such truth about how we need to work to be right with each other sometimes. Mm.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's the forgive seven times, not just seven times, but 70 times. Mm. Or, you know, go ask your brother for forgiveness. Before you come up to the altar, before you pray, go ask for forgiveness. And these people aren't necessarily asking for forgiveness, but they've all got something that they do need to make right, as I've said repeatedly, because it's, you know, it's not like it's super deep. This book isn't that long and complex, but that's what gives you kind of an opening to look at the different kinds of relationships and what people were doing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the nurse who's trying to help her husband who has Alzheimer's, so admirable. She loves him. She doesn't want to abandon him.
Yeah. Yeah. And would never.
No.
Yeah. Just wouldn't.
She's giving him she's giving him the freedom that he can still have his routine, mm-hmm. where he goes off to do whatever it is he does, and then he comes into the cafe and he goes, you know, to do whatever else, and hopefully he can find his way home.
Yeah, I mean, those are beautiful relationships. All of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just reminds how much work we have to do to, first of all, have the courage to say the things that need to be said, and also be receptive to what other people need to do.
You know, that's true. That's very important.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was thinking about what these people are doing, but of course they have to be willing to listen to what the people are saying when they get back there.
Yeah.
And change their thinking accordingly, or decide on a new path accordingly.
Yeah. And then that cafe staff, what a cool thing, you know, that's mm-hmm. a cool place to work. But yeah, but the cafe staff enabling that. And I mean, you feel like, you know, when they're given the rules and everything, you know, there's this warning and this somberness, you know, don't do this. And right. You know, there's all this care being taken, all this respect being given to everybody. And, you know, just helping them do what they need to do. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of questioning. I mean, it does say, I think in the last story, like we said, that you can only do this one time. But I don't recall why it was said there. It was like, you know, the person wanted to do it more than once, maybe. But there's none of that, hey, you can only do this once, are you sure this is the one you want? It was just, I can see that you're in need. Let me help you. And it's just really beautiful.
Yeah, because three of the people they know, the last three stories are known to the staff as regulars, or, you know, one is a co-owner. Fumiko, though, doesn't know anybody there. She just went there with him. And then later she remembers, I read this article about this.
Yeah.
And so she goes back, and the story begins and ends with talking about the article and saying, with all these constraints, what could you possibly do? And that's like the attitude of saying, well, there's no point in even talking to this person. They won't listen to me. You know, you have to try.
Yeah, you do have to try. Wow. Yeah, this says so much in such a tiny space. Yeah.
So is there, if you went to this cafe,
oof,
is there somebody you'd go see?
Well, hopefully I would be visiting it for a long time, right? I need the person to be in the cafe.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But it'd be someone that you're close to. Yeah, because, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have a list. It's hard.
You can only do it once.
Which I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to say, but yeah, there's, I've definitely done some things incorrectly in my life that I would love to talk to someone about. You know, but it's more than one. Yeah. You know, it's hard to live with that. You know, sometimes, you know, when you feel like, oh, if I could just talk to that person one more time, I think it's our job to live our lives in a way that that's not so. And just to make sure that we say the things that need said.
Increasingly, as we go through life and learn how to do it better, of course. And with for that, we can't actually do that on our own without God's help.
I think so, too.
You've got to have grace. Like,
yeah, we've got to have that because, yeah, it's just... Yeah, just imperfections.
That's it. It's we're not perfect, and
absolutely not.
But
we
gives
learn
you,
on the way, and we try to improve all the time. And
well, that's it. We try to cooperate with and be receptive to what God will give us, whether it's something to do, whether it's you know, a grace. Meaning to somebody who's not Christian or Catholic, I guess, a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I can't think of anything else, but those things, you know.
Yeah, right.
And so the more we work at it, hopefully, because we're more receptive, because we're more open, because there's less in between us and God blocking the way, we get better at it. And also practice makes perfect at some things. That's the whole reason why when you go to confession at some point, and we've talked about this before, is at some point you kind of go, oh, this is something I always talk about, but I don't need to talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
And it kind of changed and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean there's not stuff and maybe something different.
Yeah, there's other stuff. There's always other stuff, but I know exactly what you mean. Stuff.
Yeah.
I know I've experienced that too, where it's just like you're getting ready for a confession. You're like, oh, I don't have that one again. And that feels really great.
It does. It feels like, oh, I got an A on this this test, you know, kind of thing. I've graduated.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when you ask that question, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and finish your thought. Sorry.
No, that's it.
Okay. When you asked that question, did you have someone in mind?
I actually did not.
Okay. It's hard. It's a brutally difficult, you know. It's really something, you know.
I think it means I'm perfect. I think
no, absolutely.
No, I mean, I literally don't have anyone.
Right.
And so I either can't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the one person it would maybe be my grandfather, and this is just because I was a heedless, thoughtless person when he died. And he was in the hospital for like 3 weeks, and the hospital, you know, messed some stuff up and things went wrong unexpectedly. And anyway, but I kept feeling like he was going to be out of the hospital. And so I didn't send flowers and I didn't call him. And I was like, I always felt bad about that. I was always like, he was the nicest guy in the world and he would never have said anything and maybe even thought anything, because he's the one that's like, talk about a saint,
yeah,
a real saint. Yeah. But I always felt bad about it. So it's the thing where, if I could, I would go back and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to fail you and I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I'm, you know, selfish or whatever this is. If you could explain that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. But the other stuff, I think I've either worked through a lot of the things of the people I would have wanted to like yell at about something or feel really bad about. I've either accepted forgiveness because this is just how life was, and that's, I'm trying not to do that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Yeah.
And the things in this book tend to be more immediate.
Yeah, there's an immediate,
I hadn't thought about that.
There's an immediate problem that's going on. Yeah. Yeah, well, like in the first one, you know, she's got this sadness. I can't remember how long ago he left. Would it have been 3 years
ago? Yeah.
But she was just so sad that had ended like it ended, that she just needed to address it one more time. And then luckily it turned out great. And, yeah. And then, Yeah, the person who had the sister that passed away. Just needed to be said. It was something that she left and she just didn't feel good about. You know, it's right. Tough to get over that kind of thing.
And it had been recent.
Yeah.
I mean, she'd come back from the funeral.
Right, right.
And said, I got to go back in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time travel. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And Harai had found out about the letter relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because he started saying, I had a letter to give to my wife or something. Yeah,
right.
But I've lost it. I don't know where it is anymore. Yeah. And so that's when she went, what? Hold on. Where was the letter?
Yeah, let's find that thing. Yep. So that's what she did, is she found that thing. Yeah.
And Kay was getting ready to go check into the hospital and probably not leave because she was going to have to be there for full support to get the baby to term because she was fairly early in her pregnancy.
Right. So it was another immediate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rest of us are left to sit with it.
I guess so. It was unfair of me to ask you that, really.
No, it was okay because it's a great question, you know. It is a great question, but that's what the whole book makes you think about is, you know, like who, in fact, there's a quote at the beginning is, who would you go visit? Who would you see? And, you know, you just have these things in life that you have to sit with, you know, but it does remind us of who we are. You know, even if you can't go back and do something, but it should affect the way you move forward. And, you know, because you've learned, I mean, the whole thing, we're learning our whole lives about how to be, and especially, you know, God telling us how, you know, the models that we're given, mm-hmm. right, of how mm-hmm. to be, and we strive for that the whole time, and we never reach it, but we take steps, right?
Yeah.
And that's what these things remind us. You know, I mean, gosh, we're all just full of these memories of life and, you know, things that have occurred. And some of it's hard. Some of it's joyful.
And I think the thing, too, is if the stuff is a long time ago, like you were saying, and, you know, I was like, man, I guess I could think of stuff from high school or something maybe. But the thing is that you also have to, I think it was Monsignor Knox. But there's lots of saints who've said this. You have to be gentle with yourself, too.
Yeah.
You have to forgive yourself. And mm-hmm. this isn't going, it doesn't matter, I can forgive myself. This is stop beating yourself up. You know, you didn't know, or you were a different person, or it was a bad day. Whatever it was, you can't change it. It's water under the bridge. But going forward is a new story. Every day you start again. And that's really what the book is talking about.
I think so too. And I think that's just excellent advice for life. It's the only way to get through, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. And, you know, I'm the worst about criticizing myself for stuff. And then I have to remember, you know, that's done.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about confession too, that, that, you know, there's this thing I like to read, when I teach people about confession, it's, do you remember Father Longenecker? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Dwight Longenecker. Yeah.
He had this thing called 10, I'm not going to remember the exact title, but it's like, it's something like 10 things a priest would like you to know about confession, right?
Oh, okay.
And one of the points that he makes in there is that it's important for you to allow yourself to be forgiven, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have something and you bring it to confession and you come out of there and you're like, well, I don't feel forgiven, and you're still carrying that with you, well, that's a problem, right? I mean, that's a sin in itself, that you are not believing in what just happened.
You're certainly not believing God's promise. You're thinking you're more important than God.
Yeah.
He's forgiven you. But you're not, you know, you're not worthy of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You're just, and I think that that's the, one of the problems that sin, carrying sin does, is it separates you from God. I mean, you've got that wall, but the thing is, you start to feel like, I'm not worthy of this anymore. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. And that is the danger. That's where it gets you, right? When you do something and now you just don't feel like I'm worthy to go to church anymore, that is mm-hmm. where it gets tough, mm-hmm. right? And that's one of just the, one of the deep dangers of it, and one of the beauties of confession, that you know you have that to go clear that up and try to move forward, right?
Yeah, because it's for real.
Yeah, it is. I mean, right, exactly. But I love that. Yeah, that list is terrific. If I find that online, I'll put a link in the
Notes. Yeah, definitely. I would like to.
Because I have it, just my own copy, my own PDF, so that I use it all the time when it's just one of the things I go to. But if that is online somewhere, I haven't heard from him for a long time. I haven't searched for him either, so maybe he's still hard at it. I don't know.
Yeah, that was from the blogging world, and I think he's written some books and things. So. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Terrific.
I just saw the first firefly of the year. That was wonderful.
Ooh, we don't have fireflies here.
What?
There are no fireflies in Utah that I am aware of.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard. I'm so sorry.
I have really nice memories because I was born in Pittsburgh. But we moved when I was in kindergarten, so my first memories are there, and fireflies is one of those memories.
Yeah.
But we didn't have them in Idaho growing up, and we don't have them here in Utah.
Too cold, I guess, or something. Well, and, you know, usually you see them where there's tall grass or a lot of trees, and we're here in the middle of Dallas, but we still get some.
Yeah.
And I remember, though, at my parents, they had a place in the country in Springfield, Missouri at one point, and walking with the kids and my mom just out in this big yard, and it was surrounded by, you know, essentially forest. And you looked up in the trees and here were so many fireflies, and they were all blinking and blinking and blinking. And that's about when I had learned that they're actually, you know, sending mating signals to each other. Which made it even more beautiful to me. I was like, oh, they're all living their lives up there, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like the tree was wreathed in all these trees, all these blinking fireflies. You know, the frogs were croaking. It was wonderful.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Beautiful.
Welcome to summer.
Welcome to summer, right.
I did not mean to do that, but it was such a vivid memory. So one thing I wanted
to say. I love it.
Oh, did you have more to say?
No, I don't. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So kind of to sum up everything that we said, it says at the very end of the book, it says the magazine piece on the urban legend had stated, at the end of the day, whether one returns to the past or travels to the future, the present does not change. So it raises the question, just what is the point of that chair? But Kazoo, she's the one who pours the special coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Kazoo still goes on believing that no matter what difficulties people face, they will always have the strength to overcome them. It just takes heart. And if the chair can change someone's heart, it clearly has its purpose. But with her cool expression, she will just say, drink the coffee before it gets cold.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Oh,
what a great find.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Yeah, yeah. Another pool room type of book.
Yes.
I might need to get the hard copy of this one.
Really. I actually did. The library had it, or I read it on ebook or something, and I just went, no, I need an actual copy of this.
Yeah,
and my mother's read it twice and just loves it.
Oh,
and,
that's nice.
You know, because I want to be able to lend it out to people.
Right. That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, what have we got next? Let's see.
Probably a great movie. I don't remember what, but I know it's mine.
looking. Doom Laga K. Haisha.
Oh, my gosh. The name of that in English. Let me just look. Hold on 1 second.
I can look too. Let's see.
Because what it's called is My Big Fat Bride.
Oh.
But that is really to kind of tie in with American imaginations of My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Because that's, I mean, yes, it's got a big fat bride, but Doom Laga Kehaisha, let's see. I think give it all your force is really the translation. So, and that works for this movie. And it's an Indian movie. It is so wonderfully charming. And it's modern in the sense, it's more Western feeling, but in the sense of what happens when you're put in an arranged marriage from the inside of the marriage in modern times. And what happens if you don't really love some stuff about the person? And not necessarily not, you know, abusive, not, it's not dark like that. It's just real. And it's good. Charming. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's, down to earth. And the end of it is amazing.
Oh, that's great.
So,
yep. And I'm looking it up and it's available on Prime Video.
Excellent.
And it's not, it's included. Included, which is great.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Good.
Excellent.
I have my DVD of it, so that's okay too.
In the pool room. You've got a vast DVD collection. That's awesome.
Exactly. It's in the pool room.
That is great. That is great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great. Well, thank you so very much.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I sure did. I thought it was terrific. Yeah. So, go get you a copy, everybody.
Yeah, have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Drink, watch, read the book, look out for fireflies.
There you go. Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.